Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chemi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Is that time of the evening where we dive into economic affairs? Is that time of the evening, of the early evening, where we dive into issues of bread and butter? We do comparative analysis, particularly between countries. What are the models of development that they are using, and what lesson can we learn from that? Yeah, we are greeting you wherever you find yourself. Some of you, we understand you are on your way back home. Some of you are working extra time. Some of you, you are taking a cold beer outside. Some of you, you are having some good time. And there are also those who are at the gym. But the fact that you tuning into Eagle FM Namibia, your number one favorite talk radio station, then you made a right choice. We are pushing toward the end of the year. It's the 12th of November 2025. And we have around a few days before we go into December. We have not even a month. We have around a few days before we go to December. And K-December, also need to be able to realize that it has been a tough, rough, understandable lesson learning year. But you need to make sure that you have appreciated lesson that you have learned throughout 2025. And also use those lessons to plan for 2026. Let us not look at regrets, but let us look at things that we have accomplished and also things that we need to do in 2026. Like I'm always indicating, even if there is one day before end of 2025, make sure that you put all your efforts until the end of the day, because champions, they understand that extra time is where the leader, extra time is where the star, extra time is where the balladors are won, is where the top goal scores are defined, and is where the champion is defined. Because do not give up yet, even if you did not achieve some of the things that you wanted to achieve in 2025, because there's still time, and even in an extra time, you can be able to win that champion, you can be able to start that business, you can be able to complete that qualification, and you can be able to finish that application that you are doing, whether you are doing a fellowship application, it's a tender application, it's application for the job, is application for a scholarship, and all those important things. Make sure that you still have enough time, or you still have time that can define you, because what you need to do, look at the moment, and what you do today is defining what you are going to be in the future. So, looking at what's happening around, looking at what is happening around, especially looking at Gabon. Gabon is continue making history. Gabon is continue making history, especially in the recent announcement of special courts in Gabon, where you'll be able to see that you know, the former first lady of Gabon and her son, Madame Sylvia Bongo Odima, and also her son Valentin Bongo, were sentenced to 20 years in prison in absentia due to...
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
In absentia, due to public funds mismanagement, embezzlement, extortion, and also money laundering. And it was stated that the prosecutor, a public defender in Gabon Special Court, indicated or requested for 20 years sentencing against Sovia Mbongo and also her son, Valentine Mbongo. And what is very interesting is also that the politics of Mbongo family in Gabon, they trace back, especially to 55 years of leadership, 55 years of family leadership in Gabon. And you'll be able to understand that there was a coup in 2023. When you also look at between the lines, you'll be able to understand that Ali Bongo was overthrown. And he was not overthrown by somebody from far. He was overthrown by his cousin, who is current president of Gabon. But it's up to you to go and read that history. And you'll be able to look at it and try to understand what are things that we need to learn from that, and what do we need to learn moving forward, what is the effectiveness of governance in Africa, and also what do we need to do new, because at the end of the day, what you need to do is learn from other people and also try not to be like them, especially when it's coming to things that are not worthy of imitating. Yeah, the conversation for today, we are going to look at energy as a catalyst in development. Energy as a catalyst in development. And we are going to be guided by the report, especially from South Africa's statistic, especially from South African statistics, where you can be able to see and also understand that when it's coming to South Africa, apart from 30% tariff imposition, apart from change in terms of trade, apart from South Africa, you know, judicial or criminal justice system going under scrutiny, there are things that South Africa is doing very well. There are things that South Africa is doing very well. That's why we are going to look at the recent statistic, particularly reviewing of Labour Statistics Survey, where it is indicated that South African unemployment rate drops, or there is a decline in South African unemployment rate. And in this regard, it's a positive news, although it is stated to be a slight decline in South Africa unemployment rate, where it was indicated that the recent statistics by South African Statistic Agency stated that in the third quarter of 2025, they stated that South Africa indicated drop from 33.2% in terms of unemployment rate to 31.9% unemployment rate. And this is an important move, particularly since South Africa bypassed 30% during COVID-19. And you are also asking yourself a question to say, when it comes to Namibia, what can we learn from this? What are some of the major contribution to this development? Because there are statistics, and there are also contributing factors to the decline in terms of unemployment. So what are some of the causes of the declining in terms of unemployment, and what are the records saying? Now, it is stated that 10 major industries, out of 10 major industries, 6 of these industries have shown positive growth, adding to the job, of South Africans, adding numbers of jobs, especially to the identified 6 major industries. Now, what are the statistics saying? Statistics are indicating that when it's coming to the increment in South African employment rate, which is a decline in unemployment rate. Because remember, when you are increasing employment, you are declining unemployment rate, which is quite a very positive thing. It is stated that when it's coming to the construction industry in South Africa, there is an addition of 130,000 new jobs. When it's coming to community and social services, there is an addition of 116,000 new jobs. When it's coming to issues of trade, there is 108,000 jobs that are ended to South African, job statistics. And you'll be able also to realize that these are some of the positive moves. Now, what are the contributing factors? It is stated that the stability in jobs of South Africa, or the stability in jobs or in the economy of South Africa, is stated to be caused by slight improvement in terms of better electricity or better electrical supply, and also improvement in terms of transportation. Remember, South Africa is a strategic economic hub when it's coming to Southern Africa, and also Africa in general. South Africa being part of various economic bodies such as BRICS, such as G20, though to be hosting a G20 summit after a week ahead of us, and also being part of imported global economic alliance such as Russia, China, and also the fluctuating diplomatic relation with the United States of America. It was stated that one of the major sectors that contributed to that is stability in terms of energy supply. For those of you who follow the aspect of energy, you'll be able to see and also understand that industries are built, are powered. Industries are powered. And when you have disruption in terms of energy, when you have disruption in terms of electricity, when you have disruption in terms of industrial building, you can't do anything without energy, because people need energy to cook. If you are in business of cooking, you need energy to cook. If you are in business of mechanical engineering, you need energy. Any business need energy. People need energy to move. But with disruption in terms of energy, with expensiveness in terms of energy, some countries, where Namibia is also included, find it very difficult, especially when it comes to industrializing itself, when it's coming to increment of productions, because machines are working with energy. Now there's a new electrical cars which are already in the system that they require energy. But South Africa have been having a problem of leadership within Eskom. It had the problem of governance within Eskom, which is the main electrical producer in South Africa and also supplier. And there have been a lot of chaotic activities happening. But there is something that you need to appreciate. What South Africa have done, made sure that they have stopped the issue of CADA deployment. Even the government of South Africa realized that we must stop this thing of CADA deployment thing. Let us deploy executives, let us deploy people who are experienced, let us deploy people in the management, in the executives, let us appoint board members who are independent. And one of the person who is receiving prizes in South Africa now is Teto Nyati. Teto Nyati is the chairperson of Eskom. And when you look at what Teto Nyati has done, especially when it comes to South Africa energy sector, he revived through his leadership, he's revived the operation of Eskom. And for the past 6 months, you have never seen memes, you have never seen records of load shedding in South Africa, but stability in terms of energy. I want you to take a moment and also listen to one of the executives within Namibia, to the head of Namibia Chambers of Commerce and Industry, particularly when he was speaking at public sector and public private sector forum in front of the president, where he stated it very clearly to say, you cannot develop, you cannot advance without energy. That's why we need to learn. We need to get into that sector. We need to make sure that when it comes to energy, Namibia prioritizes energy production and sustainability in terms of supply of energy. How many times energy have been subsidized? What is the sustainability of subsidization of energy? How much is Namibia producing? What is the game plan of Namibia to make sure that it is self-sustaining in terms of energy production? What is the game plan? What is the relationship between a 70% household electrification plan by the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy by 2030? And also affordability and accessibility of that energy. Where do we draw the line in terms of that? Because the moment we start understanding that there must be affordability, there must be something which must be built stronger enough and can be sustained in terms of energy. You know, when you look at the records of last year, you'll be able also to realize and understand that when you look at the records of last year and also this year, government continues subsidizing. Government continues subsidizing, assisting the ordinary people with more than 300 million to be able to afford electricity. But is that subsidization, is that assisting sustainable? Because electricity in Namibia is still expensive. We still have highest price of electricity in SADC region that we are not trading for good reason. But at that juncture, at this point in time, let us listen to what the executive of Namibia Chambers of Commerce Industry has to say and look at this record and also be able to compare that. How can we take a long-term path when it comes to energy, sustainability, affordability, and also ability of Namibia to deal with issues of unemployment? Because you cannot deal with unemployment if you don't have an engine. And that engine must be running out of fuel, must be running out of electricity. But it can only be done when you address that issue. What is the position of our Ministry of Industries, Mines, and Energy? Do you have a game plan there? When are you going to, and somebody may also ask, when are you going to get a minister, a full-time minister of mines and energy? Because I was reading somewhere today where Tate Kapofi is presenting what to be proposed to be a change or transfer of some power to the presidency. But the question that you are asking is, how do we deal with issues of sustainability of energy in Namibia? Because that is the center of innovation. Energy is the center of innovation. You can't do anything. You cannot charge your phone if you cannot afford energy. You cannot cook if you cannot afford energy. You cannot use machines and computer. You cannot, you can't be a successful welder without energy. That's why that is what we need to address today, particularly in line with addressing the issue of unemployment, and also learn from South Africa. Because South Africa, when you look at the records of South Africa, South Africa is known for good and bad things, but what you can give is a credit of getting their SOEs in order. It's criticism also from public, and people realize that, to say this thing of deployment of people that I know, sometimes these guys also do not have capacity. I remember there was a time I was reading a book, Truth to Power, by Andrew DeLuita. It's a former CEO of Eskom. And him being a lawyer by profession and also being an executive with some of South African SOEs, found it very difficult. Because in front of, or in few pages when you are reading this book, you'll be able to realize that when he came to Eskom, he already found KEDA deployment.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
To Eskom, he already found Kida deployment either in terms of the executive or in terms of the board and also project engineers within Eskom. Then one of the things that he wrote is that the parking at Eskom building can already tell you a different picture to say, how come these guys are affording Porsche? How come these guys are affording Bentley? How come these guys are affording more than 4 million, value? What 4 million, cars, value of cars that they have, a car which is costing 4 million to five. He was asking himself to say, are these guys well paid? Look at the buildings, look at the houses of these guys with bigger swimming pools, apartments. Then he asked, what is the impact of corruption in energy supply in South Africa? But after that, I think either the government and also those who are in charge of calling the shots, particularly in the area of energy, they found it very imperative, very important to appoint independent, effective executive who can be able to run an institution independently and give recommendations. Because when you read and listen to Mteto Nyati, for example, one of the things that is stated is that the first thing that they have done is to make sure that they got the leadership right. It is so to make sure that they got people who can do the job effectively and efficiently without looking at the name, without looking at the belongings of this person. So, before we move forward, I want you to listen to this.
A domestic investment is also a very powerful, extremely powerful strategic lever that obviously, Madam President, often we celebrate foreign direct investment, and rightly so. But we must also look at how we mobilize our own domestic capital beyond taxation. We believe that this will be earnings accretive for Namibia Incorporated. One last thing, Your Excellency. The industrialized Namibia that we all dream of depends on one thing: affordable and secure energy supply. We will not be able to industrialize and attract meaningful investment if electricity cost remains high, if regulation in the space remains a hindrance. Energy security is not just a sectoral issue. It is the key that unlocks every other ambition that we hold. Madam President, these are not complaints. It's commitments. It's commitments from the private sector that wants to partner with you and your government in meeting your social contract that you have with the Namibian people. Our destiny is shared, joined at the hip, and united in building an inclusive, resilient, and globally.
We are continuing with business and economic segment. Just to get into that, that was the word of Titus Nampala, the CEO of NCCI, Namibia Chambers of Commerce and Industry, especially when he was speaking at public-private sector forum. And just find it very important, very crucial, especially when you are at this point where we are discussing energy, to get that part, because an industrialized Namibia that we all dream of cannot be done, cannot be achieved without energy security. And instead of us discussing about electrification, let us discuss about the price. Are those people who are getting energy able to afford energy? If you want to get my point, just check how much of energy voltage do you have? How much of electricity do you have? Just go and check at your electrical box. How much of energy do you have? I'm going to reach the end of the month. How many times do you struggle with buying of energy? And this is, it's a headache to landlords, a headache to tenants, it's a headache to house owners, it's a headache to business owners. Could it be that one of the reasons we are not moving forward is because we spend more money on energy, we spend more money on electricity than we could have spent? Could it be that we have failed to sort out that aspect of energy security? Could it be that we need to do something before those who are in charge of supplying energy will also find it very difficult to supply to us if we are not keeping up with pricing? And what lesson can we learn from South Africa? Because it's not only that the energy is the one which drove everything, but it's the engine, it's the center of everything. Imagine you are in a creative industry, and you are going to shoot a film or a movie or a music video. But by the time you get to the studio, load shedding. By the time you get to the studio owner is not able to afford electricity. You have to go back home, frustrated, even forgot some of the codes, some of the hit tracks that you could have, record that day. If you have a business, there is no electricity. How are you going to keep up? How are you going to preserve your food that you are selling? So that should, must, and it has to be a center of discussion to say, there must be a very clear plan to say, okay, if Namibia is investing, for example, in nuclear energy, when are we starting? Because the conversation of saying the framework is being drafted is a very good conversation, but when are we starting? How do you deal with energy? Yeah, we understand that there are some independent power producers who are also investing in solar energy, but at what pace can we start there? Because remember, if you look at a country like South Africa, where people have predicted that after stopping to extend African Growth and Opportunity Act, and also after imposition of tariffs of 30% to all the goods and services entering the US market, South Africa continued to stand up and move forward and try to repair itself, particularly after the impact of COVID-19 to unemployment rate in South Africa. But Namibia, a country with a population of not 4 million people, we are still struggling to put our house together. But what can we do? Could it be that we need to move more faster, especially sorting out energy? Because remember, we can have other good plans, but at the center of that, what is the engine? Now, next year, everybody who qualified to go to university will get financial support from government. Tertiary education will not be especially at public institution. When you are at the tertiary institution, you don't need to worry about payment of tuition fees anymore. But the question will always be, and will always continue to be, to say, now, in terms of energy, electricity, how much consumption are these, institution going to consume, and who is going to pay for that? And what can we do? Not to say we should not subsidize, but for how long? What is the do we have sustainability in terms of subsidizing? Or we are still at economic defense mode? And if you are in an economic defense mode, when are we going to attack? When are we going to be practical and futuristic in dealing with our issue? That is a conversation that we should engage into. And it should be a practical conversation, not only a conversation in terms of theorizing. What Mr. Titus Nampala have stated, especially the public-private sector forum, shouldn't be just well-crafted words. It should be something that every person should think about that. The banks, the central bank should think about that. The Ministry of Energy, Industries and Mine should think about that. Those who are in charge of strategic decision-making, the young politicians of Namibia, they should discuss about these issues. They should read about these reports, because I thought, what need to be is that every young person who is a parliamentarian must make sure that cater for the issue of young people first, because those are pertinent issues. Because if you tackle the issue of young people first, as a young person, you are tackling the present and the future. Because majority of the population is young people, and majority of the population in Namibia are young people who are not, employed. In terms of, when you look at the statistics, it's indicating to you that majority of people who are employed are not the one who went to university. We have more degrees, masters, even PhD, who knows, in the street. But what do we do? What do we need to do to deal with that issue? Are we going to take all the complaints and solve them? Are we going to take all the recommendation of good reports, such as informality diagnostic reports, and address them to fix our country? Or we need to make sure that the engine is working? Because the other time I gave an example to say Namibia is a bus moving toward a destination called Vision 2030. And the question that everybody should ask himself or herself is that at what speed is this bus moving? Do we have a well-advised mechanic to fix our bus if it's stuck? And that mechanic should be monitoring and evaluation too, to test at what speed. Is the bus moving at the right direction? How are we giving support to the bus driver who is the head of the state? How are we giving support to this person? Or we are distracting the driver? Are we all together moving in the same direction? But if we are moving together in the same direction, what is hindering us to make progress? What is hindering us to make progress? South Africa was hit by COVID-19 like us. South Africa got 30% tariffs in possession. South Africa being the main trader in SADC region and also in SACU, and the key connector in the west and the east, has also challenges. The prediction of 30,000 jobs to be lost due to these tariffs. But the country persisted. What about us, Namibia? What are we doing? And this is a question that should not only be answered by people who have power, but also by those who are looking at those who are students, those who are young people, to look at the interest of the nation, particularly when you want to address issues. Because it has surprised a lot of people. Because South Africa is aiming to go below 30% when it's come to the unemployment rate. And it's a country with more than 50 million people and is the highest unequal nation in the world in terms of income inequality. Followed by who? Followed by us. But it's a discussion that we need to expand. I want to give you records, particularly when it's coming to energy in Namibia.
Yeah, we are continuing with business and economic segment.
with me, David Shombe. We are speaking about energy being at the center of national development and energy being the key driving factors of South Africa reduction in terms of unemployment plus transportation and also creation of jobs in various sectors. Now, when you are speaking about energy, if you read in today's The Villager newspaper, you can be able also to understand that electricity cost in green schemes for the past 12 months in all state-owned green schemes cost 34.9 million. And there's a prediction of around 1.1 million every month. Now, when you want to get this point very well, you can be able now to understand that your investment in a business, your investment in an industry is defined by the efforts, by the energy supply, the cost of energy, the cost of water, and electricity. But when it's coming to electricity now, when you have 34.9 million for the past 12 months, what will happen if you want to expand your capacity in terms of productions? You are using machines. You need light. You need equipment. You need 24 hours operating machines. How are you going to win the battle of food insecurity? How are you going to make sure that Namibia is sustainable in terms of food production if you are already losing in terms of cash flow? That's why if you read deeply into the Villager newspaper for today, you can be able to see and also look at the article by my colleague Anakreta Haikera. Then you can be able to get the point, and you can also be able to see what are the managers of green schemes are saying about the price of electricity, because the price of electricity is one of the reasons that industries are not being built, are not being expanded. So that's why it's high time that the discussion of energy should not be just a discussion in terms of theory, but should be a discussion in terms of practicals. Because, for example, when you look at our Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy, look at the pronunciation. You just want and wish that at least we can have a stable ministry with a full-time minister who can at least deal with critical issues, and one of them is the price of electricity. And if you want to get this correctly, you must also look at the records with ECB, where you'll be able to realize that some of the electrical distributors, they also take time. They also take times to repay what they owe, ECB. And they also take time to submit, I was also looking at the aspect, especially when electricity was subsidized. When I was looking at that, when I got into the conversation with one of the executives from ECB and indicated that no, some of these, town councils, municipalities, they are still taking time to submit their receipts because we want to give them their subsidies. But the question that you are asking yourself is that what is the game plan, particularly in addressing energy industry in Namibia? One of the proposed, and I quote, especially when our head of state was giving a state of nation address, is the issue of nuclear energy. It is stated that it's not out of the table, but the discussions are already ongoing. The question we should ask is that at what level is the discussion? At what level is the discussion? Who are involved in that aspect? Because remember, you already have introduction of electricity, electrical cars, EVs. And if you want to industrialize, you'll be able to speak about smart trains in the future. How are we going to power them? Is load shedding going to be on our side, or we are just going to sacrifice to say all this money are going to Zambia, all this money are going to South Africa, are going to Eskom? or we are coming up with a plan. Because subsidization is a defense mechanism to deal with the issue in a short period of time. But the long-term impact of that, because remember the population is increasing. The population of the city of Windhoek itself is over 500,000, and it's not going to grow smaller. It's going to continue expanding. The more you have a process of urbanization moving from rural to urban area, these people, they also require services. They also require electricity. They require water. Are they going to afford? And one may be able to ask, what is the relationship between the plan of 70% Namibian household by 2030 electrified and the affordability of that electricity? Because remember now you have data which were supposed to move in the same direction. Your unemployment rate is increasing. Your price of electricity is increasing. Your inequality maintains. Your informal market is expanding. And you are moving at the direction of electrifying household by 70%. Who is going to pay for that if electricity production in Namibia is not increased? Who is going to pay for that? Because the problem is that there is no money. The problem is that people are not making money. The problem is that, you know, there is no financial securation, former financial securations. Because when you're looking at the statistics of the diagnostic of informality, you can be able to see that more than 58% of Namibians are employed in the informal sector. And it's very difficult to trace them. It's also very difficult to formalize them. Then the question is that when and how are we going to deal with the issue of cost of energy? The proposal of a nuclear plant for good use, as it has been presented, is on the table. But for how long? Are we just discussing for the sake of discussing, or we are going to do something about it? Because 34.9 million in a year in green schemes is not sustainable. And this is also now coming to us to understand that when we spoke about the report of green schemes, no wonder. Could it be that when you look at the midterm budget review of Namibia, there were a few green schemes which were reported in terms of their production. Not more than 5. Not even 4. But the question, could it be that energy is the factor in affecting production? Because looking at the Villager newspaper, you can also be able to see the aspect of electricity outage. Then you can get the conversation from there. But now, what do we need to do apart from discussions? When you look at nuclear or uranium, for example, Namibia being the third largest producer of uranium should have taken that as an advantage a long time ago to start a mini nuclear plant that can supply just Namibia, for example. We have friends around the world. We have Chinese. We have everybody who have technical know-how. Our friends from Japan are here. Why can't we start from there? Because that is not a short-term solution, but it's a long-term. Because if you want to think about industrialized Namibia, we are not only speaking about 2030. We are speaking beyond that. We are speaking the generation who will come after us. But what foundation have we built in terms of industries? Who own the industries? And who is willing to assist us in forming a nuclear plant for electricity, for good use? Who's going to assist us in terms of that? And when are we going to start At what level is solar energy contributing to our grid? At what level? So that is a conversation, because as it was stated to say, you cannot move without energy. You cannot move without energy. You need energy in all aspects. Communication, you need energy. Transportation, you need energy. Printing something, you need energy. Constructing something, you need electrical energy. That's why we are saying today, what lesson can we learn from South Africa? Because looking at, for example, nuclear, you'll be able to understand that when you look at the lifespan of mines, let us look at Rossing. By 2035, the lifespan of Rossing is going down. And that one you must know, because nuclear is not going to be here forever. But if we tried something, then we fail. Because it's quite very important to try something, then we fail. Then not to do something for the fear of failing. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. We are looking at the declining in terms of unemployment rate in South Africa. And at the center of that is stability in terms of energy supply. And looking at, for example, stability in terms of energy supply and also sustainability in terms of providing for itself. Because no matter the situation of challenges South Africa is facing, it has continued to prove itself. We are not saying it's a perfect country, and no, there is no perfect country. But what it has done, it has got its leadership in terms of energy sector correctly. They pick people based on their effectiveness. They pick people based on their effectiveness. They pick people based on how they can deliver in that sector. What experience do they have in that sector? That's why, go and read the chairperson of Eskom board, how he turned things around. Because imagine after, from 2017, Eskom did not make any profit. They lost more than 50 billion. Being pushed and subsidized by government so that they can continue producing electricity and they can also continue selling to us. But when you look at the final, when you look at the financial year, which ended in March 2025, Eskom made around 16 billion rands in terms of profit. That is not luck. That is effective leadership. That is identifying the problem. That is management of resources. And who is paying for this? It's us and many other clients. And what do we need to do? We have an advantage. You have an advantage. Either is from green energy. Are we speaking about the same language? Either is from other sectors. Either is from uranium. In fact, we have a lot of sources of energy in Namibia, but are we utilizing them to the best of our abilities? Are academicians doing research about those things? Are the universities speaking the same language when it's coming to these things of energy? Are the economists? I know Kanjogan Kwanyoka is an expert in the area of energy. Are the economists doing their job? Apart from researching, are they advising those with power to exercise the power of the state or the power of the industries to contribute? Are they independent power producers venturing into that? Because as you have heard, there will be no industrialized Namibia without energy security. Somebody must also be paranoid about the future of energy security in Namibia if you are not addressing it. And at what pace? Because one of the things that we have, one of the problems that I found is that when you discuss about something and you meet a person in that field, then you ask a person to say, what is your view on energy sector in Namibia? We are doing our best. There are plans in order. There are policy framework. When? Where? At what time?
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
At what time? At what level? How long is it going to take? Because as we indicated that there is no development without energy, there is also no development without research, and there is no development without data. And if you are speaking in vague to say we are doing our best to make sure that we solve the issues of energy, at what level are you? At what stage are you? What assistance do you need? What technical assistance do you need? And this is not only the question for some people, it's a question for everybody to say, what is my contribution when it comes to national development, especially in the issue of energy? And that would be linked also to address other issues. Because at the center of that, if you have a person who is an engineer who wants to innovate, if you have a scientist who wants to do research and innovate, they need energy. But if they cannot afford energy at the level where they are, how do you expect expansion in terms of the economy if green schemes are already losing 34.9 million for the past 12 months spending on energy? You will be shocked if you don't, if you are not doing the calculation very well, you will be shocked that all the money that you put there will be absorbed by energy. Then you operate on a loss. Because just imagine subsidizing operation instead of subsidizing products. How difficult that is going to be. You are subsidizing operations. How are you going to know that you are even making profit if much of the fundings, the green scheme managers are complaining, much of the fundings are going into energy? And it's also a disruption in terms of your operation, because when you are operating, then electricity is finished. There is power outage. How are you going to navigate from that aspect? So, dear listeners, with these words, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic segment. And it's not a point of complaining. It's a point of raising issues. And also up to us to go and also do research. And make sure that this conversation must be elevated, because the very important thing that we are always advocating is for you to elevate the conversation so that it can reach a person with influence, for us to debate and advise each other. Because if you are my friend and you are always agreeing with whatever I'm saying or everything which I'm saying, then you have a very big problem with me. Because we need to debate and bring issues on the table and advise each other, because it's through these debates where we co-create knowledge. That is not only knowledge for us to show that at least we got a few data, but knowledge that can be shared with the people, and knowledge that can influence decisions that can build industries. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mtuma team, and from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around.